The word that we have as metaphor comes from a Greek term that means a transfer or a carrying over. So what we're doing when we make metaphors is we are taking the associations and the meanings that we tie to one object or idea, and we are transferring those or carrying them over to our understanding of another object or concept or idea. And so we have this, or really what we're doing is we're holding up the one object or concept in light of the other. And the relationship that plays out between them sheds a great deal of light, as it were, on our understanding of this other object or idea, of the new object or idea. It also interacts with the previous object or idea, the one that we are holding the new object or idea up to the light of, if that makes sense. And so we have this relationship that's established, I think, for instance, of Shakespeare's sonnet number 18. It begins, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" In the poem, the poet is interrogating the way that we use metaphors and the adequacy of metaphors for establishing or illustrating the character or getting at the character of a person or an object or idea. Is this metaphor adequate enough? Does it help us actually to understand this other thing's object or this other thing's character? And so that's kind of how a metaphor works in a really simplistic kind of sense, that we're comparing these two things, holding one up to the light of the other. We look at the relationship that plays out between both of them. Now, Tina Lindsay, in her poem, "My Mother Is," she takes on some of the metaphors that we often use to talk about motherhood or even the divine feminine. She begins, "My mother is the ocean, the color of an eye, edged in foamy lace. She is an equal partner to heaven as she negotiates rainfall with the sky." So we have this interplay between the sky and the sun going on, or the sky and the sea, rather, and this intense relationship that goes on between them, this reciprocal relationship, always giving and taking to one another. And our understanding of this plays into, or she points to, how this should inform our understanding of the mother. Her mother is the ocean. It informs the way that the earth works, the way the world works, the way that the water cycle works, this sustaining, this giving of life, being an equal partner to heaven. So we have the sea being the feminine aspect, the sky being the masculine aspect, working together to sustain the earth. I think of, in this sense, Maori mythology, where we have the earth mother in relationship with the sky father, and they breed children and bring forth the races of the earth. And so we have this creation myth where the father and the mother and the father, they interact with one another and sustain their children. So Tina's kind of playing into this metaphor in terms of our understanding of the mother in heaven. Then she moves on to, "My mother is the earth, covered in a quilt of terrain and water. She creates our daily bread." So moving even further from the water to the earth, this whole thing sustaining the life around them. We also obviously have Mother Earth, that the earth is often considered feminine, that it sustains, it gives life. It's the womb from which life sprang. Then she moves on, "My mother is the moon," the moon being very closely tied to femininity. That's extremely important in terms of a woman's cycle, the relationship between the waves, of the waves of the ocean again, and the movements of the earth, and again the woman's cycle, that it's so closely tied to the moon and its movements, that she lifts up water and blood and she curves her shape into sacred patterns. So she's, again, revising, rethinking this concept, playing it out a little more deeply. And then she moves to one that is not necessarily one that I consider often, at least that I didn't too often before I started reading these poems a bit more deeply about the mother in heaven. "My mother is the shadow. She's subtle like shading, yet equal to light. Without the shadow, we can't have the light." The mother is content in this metaphor to step back and to let the light to let the light shine. But we have to look into the shadows. We have to see her standing there. And she gives us our vision as she mixes colors with depth. Without the shadows, we wouldn't be able to see. So we need the shadows as much as we need the light, just as we need the moon, as we need the earth, as the ocean needs the sky. All of these things in this complex ecosystem that we live in, we need all of these things. And Tina is exploring these metaphors in terms of the Mother in Heaven and her presence in not only the world around us, but in the metaphors that we use to interrelate with one another and with the heavens, with the gods. And then the last one, she kind of puts another spin on it. She says, "My mother is me. Our essence flows from the same source. We connect to oneness as we weave tapestries of truth. My mother is me." I hadn't thought of that until I read that line. That in reality, we carry the genes of our mother, both physically and spiritually. We have these genes, that we have this heritage that we can live up to and grow into. And I think that it's important for both male and female to understand a relationship with these genes, that the mother is in us, just as she is in the shadows, in the moon, in the earth, in the ocean, all around us, that her presence is there, lifting, sustaining us, informing our development, our evolution, our the way that we interact with the world and with one another. And I think that Tina's poem is really interesting. She sheds light on these different metaphors that we use to consider our mother in heaven, and that these are ways that we can think more deeply about her presence in the world and in our lives.